Young people turned to government for help in 2008 when they helped elect Barack Obama president of the United States. But should what's being called Generation Jobless now reject the helping hand of Big Brother in order to get the moribund economy rolling again and to get them out of their parents' homes and into better paying, more meaningful work? Here with answers is Anthony Randazzo, Director of Economic Research for the Reason Foundation and a Freedom Watch regular. Anthony, it's a pleasure. Welcome here. The numbers are really grim for young people. Maybe these are numbers that we don't look at. What are they?
Well, specifically, if you're talking about groups that are between 20 and 24,
right,
and then groups between 24 and 35, you're looking at very, very high levels of unemployment that are double and triple and even quadruple the national rate of unemployment.
Is there something to be said for the youth in Occupy Wall Street, at least with this respect? You know what? The government, in collaboration with the banks and the Federal Reserve, have stifled the ability of our generation to get meaningful jobs. Is that an argument that can legitimately be made, whether by them or by us?
Well, I think it's an argument that can be legitimately made. I think one interesting thing is to look at how federal policies have led to a place where there are so many people that are unemployed and the reasons why. It's not just the recession. It's not just some of the things. It's not just the...
What are those federal policies?
So there are some structural things going on in the economy. We have been shifting over the past decades towards less automated manufacturing, for instance, or less construction jobs. But because of federal policies that increased the housing bubble, we had all these construction jobs over the past decade. So if you got a job in the 2000s and you entered the construction industry in some capacity, but now you don't have a job, we got 2 million unemployed construction workers. A lot of those are people who are guys, young men between 24 and 35, who only have a high school education. But they've been promised, essentially, they thought that they had this long-term construction job. They would not have otherwise been in those positions without the policies contributing to the bubble. It needed to shift away. We need the economy to shift away from that type of employment, but those policies wound up perpetuating that.
Let me try and summarize what you just said. Because of legislation, largely from the Jimmy Carter era, which influenced the manner of financing of homes and encouraged the financing of homes and the lending of money to pay for homes, perhaps to people that couldn't afford them, and thus generated the construction of homes. And then when all that collapsed, these construction workers were out of work.
They're out of work, and they're not going to go back to work.
All right. Might the minimum wage have something to do with this? Is it possible that the government is forcing businesses to pay people more than they're worth, and so they're not getting paid anything?
You know where I stand, Judge, as a libertarian. That's easily a softball question.
Explain that one.
It's absolutely true. In 2007, we had a $2.10 hike in the minimum wage.
Right.
And as a result of that, teen employment dropped 12.4%.
Well, now, how could that be? Isn't the government just making people richer
exactly
by raising the minimum wage?
No, it is very basic that if you only have a fixed amount of money, which any small business and large business has, that if you're forced to pay a certain wage, you're only going to be able to hire a certain number of people. That if you can spread that, if you can break up that payment across more people, if you can hire three people for the price of two now, you're probably going to get more production. However, that means we're going to have lower wages. And so there are some people that just simply don't want that society. And so they would prefer there to be more unemployed people, but other people making higher wages.
Okay, switching gears a little bit. Last Saturday was Transfer Bank Day, where the young people were supposedly, by the hundreds of thousands or millions, going to transfer their bank accounts from banks in banks that we know the name of to banks we never heard of.
Sure.
It didn't happen. Why?
A couple of reasons. One, you can't transfer your money out of one bank to another in one day, much less on a Saturday to credit unions, a lot of whom are not open on Saturdays. That's a big reason. Another thing is that a lot of the banks said, you know what, those debit card fees that we're going to charge you, we're not going to charge you those anymore. And so that took a lot of wind out of the sails. The sneaky thing is that all of that money is still going to get charged. It's just going to be in less transparent ways. Instead of
which the people complaining about it will not see.
Exactly.
All right.
It's incredibly problematic, and it's because of the Durbin Amendment effectively forcing banks to collect that revenue, which is $7 billion, which they can't just give away.
Got it. Anthony Randazzo, thanks for joining us. In Oakland, California, protesters have raised the stakes by assaulting private businesses. But you won't believe how the cops have responded. My Freedom Files are next. We'll be right back.